Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight-up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, everybody, for being here with me today on episode number 62 of the Global from Asia podcast. I had fun meeting David Heenberger from Fat Cat Apps last week on his first ever trip to Hong Kong. Got his company set up and his HSBC business account approved. Good job, buddy. Took a picture with them on top of the Long Kwai Fong Hotel at the Azir restaurant, and it was a lot of fun catching up with them. You can check that out on globalfromasia.com/episode62, along with the other show notes I have. And it's gotten kind of chilly down here in South China. David wasn't expecting it, and I myself feel a little bit cooler than usual at this time of the year. Usually it doesn't get cold till January or February. So if you're coming to visit, make sure maybe pack an extra sweater or light jacket. Also, David reminded me about the voicemail service I have on his blog at globalfromasia.com/voicemail. I haven't really pushed it too much. I only got a few messages. He did leave one. It got cut off for some reason. And I have another one that's also pretty interesting. I'm going to save those for the end of today's episode after our interview. So if you want to wait till the end, you can listen into those. And now on to the show for today. We have Fionn back with us from Bridges Executive Center. Listeners really enjoyed her past couple shows when she came on. Episode 50, she was talking about offshore companies versus domestic Hong Kong companies, and people really liked it. So it did kind of bring up some more questions about this offshore option for a Hong Kong limited company, how to qualify, what it is exactly, you know, do you still have to file every year, and other kind of details. So I know there's people here that are going to be excited about this. I hope everybody else enjoys too. Also, just a quick reminder that I'm an affiliate for Bridges. So if you're interested in their services, make sure to mention Global from Asia or go to globalfromasia.com/bridges to enjoy a 1,000 Hong Kong dollar discount. And I will receive a commission for that. So thanks in advance for anybody that does it. Let's get into the show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We're back here at Bridges Executive Center in Central Hong Kong with Fionn. Thank you for being here, Fionn.
Hi, everybody. This is Fionn from Bridges Executive Center. We have been in Hong Kong for more than 10 years. We are a Hong Kong company helping the people to set up the business in Hong Kong and also help them to see how to upkeep their company on accounting, taxation, this kind of things.
And you've been on a couple of episodes earlier with us, and people really liked your sharing and being on the show. So thanks again for being here. And actually, as follow-up from our last episode, we were talking about offshore companies versus Hong Kong companies. So today's a little bit more specific, focusing only on offshore option of a Hong Kong limited company. So people are interested in that and still kind of confused, and I'm also still kind of learning too. So it's a very niche specific one, but maybe we can first start by defining offshore transaction or options for Hong Kong Limited. Is there a name for it? Or
actually, I find that there is a lot of people like to set up the Hong Kong Limited company to run their business, maybe of the repetitions or maybe some purpose, but their actual business is not involved in Hong Kong, which means that their trade, their professions, their business are not involved in Hong Kong. All their profit generated are not divided from or arising in Hong Kong. They are not make use of the Hong Kong, this territory, the place to generate their profit. So all the things we will call belongs to offshore.
So I can also restate. So yeah, it's still using a Hong Kong limited company with like HSBC or a Hong Kong bank and a Hong Kong address for your correspondence address, but you have an offshore option where you pay the 0% tax versus a normal 16.5% tax for this option. So
actually, there is a lot of clients, they set up the Hong Kong limited company, but they still want to use the bank account in Hong Kong because they find that the bank account in Hong Kong is very good for the e-banking and also for the money in and out. Though they may have some limitation, but it's still very good for the large transaction in and out as well. So they will use the bank account in Hong Kong in case they need to use the Hong Kong address as the very basic business correspondent address is still fine as well, but not having the physical office in here. And then if their business generate any profit but outside of Hong Kong, maybe they got their e-commerce business in any other country, then which means that all their profits, supposing, is generated outside of Hong Kong. They do not employ any people here. They do not have office here. They do not use the Hong Kong supplier. They do not have clients in here. Supposing, seems like their businesses belongs to the offshore business. And if their business is offshore business, which means that they can have chance to talk to the Inland Revenue Department in Hong Kong to claim for the offshore profit tax exemptions.
So maybe let's do some examples of an offshore transaction. And so that means you as the business owner or anyone representing your company can't be in Hong Kong or the customer or the supplier.
Actually, if you want, because you know that for the Inland Revenue Department, of course, they will try to look at every single of your operation or transaction, whether involved in Hong Kong or not. If you want to quite make sure, especially for the foreigner, for the expatriate, in case you are throughout the whole year, you are always not in Hong Kong, you are not the residents in Hong Kong. Maybe sometimes you just come over to Hong Kong for some short-term trip, but maybe it's for leisure only, may not be for business. So that's fine. But if you always come to Hong Kong for business discussion, business meeting, sign up the business agreement, then you may involve the local tax if you make any profits. So for yourself, supposing you are always not in Hong Kong, your client are not involved in Hong Kong, your supplier, your vendors are not involved in Hong Kong, then it will be much more pay safe, belongs to the offshore transaction. So every single of your business transactions are not in here.
Got it. So we were talking earlier, and I think a lot of listeners here are internet business people, e-commerce people. So I kind of want to have a couple of questions. I know I always hear if they're selling like on eBay or online or their own website and they're shipping to a foreign customer, the shipping address is outside of Hong Kong and they're outside of Hong Kong, that's an offshore transaction. I guess also where's the product shipped from? If it ships from Hong Kong versus outside of Hong Kong. So you ship it from China, not from Hong Kong? And this is complicated, but maybe you can try your best to give us some ideas.
I would say if you have very small piece of things involved in Hong Kong, there will still have chance that Inland Revenue will suspect your profits will involve in Hong Kong. Just like what you just mentioned, if you have your product shipped from Hong Kong, there may have chance that you will involve the Hong Kong tax. So supposing if your whole business, if you have something manufacturing from China and then directly ship all those things from China to Europe, okay, and you have those sales deal is, for example, if you're if you're the European person, so if you travel to China to close the deal, go to the factory to do the QC, all the things, and then you ship the goods from China to Europe without involving in Hong Kong, but you just ask your client to settle the payment to your bank account in Hong Kong, that's fine, will not involve anything. However, in case you have any shipment involved in Hong Kong, or maybe you have the sales still deal with their Hong Kong office, then you may have chance to involve the Hong Kong tax. Although I find that some of the clients will tell me that actually the manufacturing is in China, that is the China company. But however, if you deal with their Hong Kong office, then you will may involve in the Hong Kong tax as well.
True. And just to follow up, actually, I kind of recommend people to pay the factories, and a lot of factories in China have Hong Kong businesses too.
So it depends on if your invoice is, if you sign up the agreement or the invoice is issued from a Hong Kong company to you, then we will suspect you have the business transaction with the Hong Kong company. Okay. Because that Hong Kong company may receive the income or maybe they provide something to you that will involve their account as well.
Okay, so I get the invoice from their factory and their factory's address is on the invoice says Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Say they're both Bridges clients and they both have the same address in Bridges, but they're one's in China, one's in Europe, the buyer's in Europe.
Because you involve the Hong Kong business operations, because you make use of that. Supposing it seems like you deal with the Hong Kong company, with the Hong Kong office, so they have the team in here to provide the service to you to manage the shipment or a negotiation with you on the price or the things. So you make use of the Hong Kong resources. Why you generate the profit is because of having the Hong Kong people to help you.
So a bank account is also the same?
Bank account is okay.
Yeah. Bank account's okay, but if the invoice address has Hong Kong on the address?
Yeah. If you deal with your client or supplier, which is in Hong Kong, because you have the back end, right, with you have the invoice, it shows that, yeah, you are dealing with the Hong Kong supply client. You are making use of the Hong Kong resources. Using the bank account is something different.
This is good information. And also, like, for back those tech geeks listening that do the e-commerce hosting their website in Hong Kong is also considered doing business in Hong Kong. So if their server or their website's in Hong Kong, that's a domestic transaction.
We have experienced one of the clients. Actually, they think that they are doing the e-commerce. Their website developed is not in Hong Kong. And also all their portal and all the things salary to any other country. But however, finally, Inland Revenue asked, where is your server safe? And finally, we find that actually their server is safe under a Hong Kong company, a Hong Kong hosting company to keep all the data. So actually, they are making use of the Hong Kong resources again, and which is their main source of the business. So finally, actually, this is also involved for the Hong Kong test as well.
Okay, clear. And so say people... Yeah, actually, I'll have to disclose, I don't bother with offshore option. I just do domestic, the 16.5%. But so say people are still want to deal with this. When do they start? Do they have to start as soon as they open the company? Do they have to, you said, file with the IRD? How do they get started with making an offshore Hong Kong company?
Actually, when you start your business, you will not you are not required to inform the Inland Revenue Department from the right beginning. Actually, for the Hong Kong, for the profit tax filing, which is for the first profit tax filing, is within 18 months, no matter you are onshore profit or offshore profit. So the time when you file the tax return to the government, at that time, you will declare, inform the Inland Revenue whether your business is an onshore business or offshore business. And also, actually, when you do your accounting and auditing, when you do your auditing work, you need to inform your auditor as well. Your business is the offshore business. They will reveal all the information and comment on whether which is the offshore business or not. So if your business is the offshore business, they will help you to fill in the profit tax return to declare that is offshore business. Then in around, I think, maybe around 1 to 2 months' time, then the Inland Revenue Department will issue a letter to you to say that, oh, you declared that your business is the offshore business. We would like to verify on a lot of different information to see whether it is offshore or not.
Is it 100% all or none, or can it be half-half?
Actually, Inland Revenue Department accept half of the business is onshore, half of the business is offshore. But however, recently in this few year, I find that if you declare like that, it is very difficult to get the acceptance from the Inland Revenue Department, because it's very difficult to define how your half of your business is onshore, half of your business is offshore. Although from the entrepreneur, they will say that I have half of the client is in Hong Kong and half of my client is in Europe. Then if those profit generate from half of my client, I'm willing to pay tax. But for the other half, I think that I'm offshore. So they want to claim for the offshore profit claim. But however, from the Inland Revenue Department, they will evaluate to see where is your operational team. There are many different factors. For example, for your operational team, if you have your staff in Hong Kong, how can we say that your staff haven't managed for those offshore things? And also, there is a lot of things may involve your Hong Kong team as well. So finally, which may make your offshore part may not be easily grant the tax exemption. So that's why I think from my previous podcast to all of you, I would suggest that it is much better that you separate into two parts. Onshore business set up the Hong Kong, using the Hong Kong Limited Company onshore business to do it. Another part, you use the offshore type to do it. Make it clear in order to enhance the chance for the offshore claim.
Okay, yeah, it makes sense. And it kind of leads into my next question is, people can listen to episode 50, which is a really great one where you shared about domestic companies versus offshore. And actually after that episode where a lot of people are still insisting that maybe they don't want to have to be bothered with having two separate companies, like an offshore company and a domestic Hong Kong company. But actually I have heard friends, I can't of course mention them on the show, but they're having these issues where they have half-half. And now I think, like you said, maybe in the last, we used to work, but now the IRD has been inquiring with them more.
Yeah.
So he's having arguments with his auditor about it now. So maybe he he should...
Once you involve any on-solving will be difficult. Just like one of my clients, or I would say many of my clients, their business is so-called claimants offshore. Just like what we say, for example, they buy the goods from China and export the things to Europe. But that person is always come to Hong Kong. Yeah, frequently, because we will look at the immigration record and find that that person is keep on coming over to Hong Kong. Then Inland Revenue Department will be interested to know what he did in Hong Kong. So can you say that you always come to Hong Kong for just for leisure, for tourists? So they suspect that you may be living in Hong Kong, you may be doing some business transaction in here as well. And also even some of my clients, they have the Hong Kong resident card. Actually, so they say that actually I close all my deal is outside Hong Kong. I go to London to close the deal. I go to China to close the deal. But Inland Revenue Department may not trust on you because you are always in Hong Kong. You may make use of the Hong Kong resources to do something. Maybe you answer the email in Hong Kong. You do some phone call in Hong Kong, something like that. So it's very difficult to deal with the immigrations on this part, Inland Revenue Department on this part, if you have a lot of time in Hong Kong as well.
So, you know, I think also I have to keep this, I just think of the listeners and what they've talked to me about. And they're still like, even me included, are shy to maybe go forward with an offshore, like Seashell. I know is one that you have said is the best out of these offshore companies. But, you know, I think a lot of times people are afraid about getting merchant account approval, bank account approval. A lot of people are really, really nervous even for a domestic Hong Kong company. They're getting dressed up for their interview to HSBC. So I think if they're already afraid or nervous to do it for Hong Kong Limited, they're really afraid that it seems like it's getting harder, not easier for all of this. So I think that's another reason that they want to maybe stick with just a domestic Hong Kong company, but still take advantage of the offshore option. But it just seems like from this interview. Also, maybe we'll talk about the auditing. So they still need to file the audit for a offshore 100% offshore approved Hong Kong limited company, right?
Yeah, but actually I think that if your business is really belongs to the offshore business, always actually offshore of the Hong Kong, I will really recommend the client to set up the offshore company, which means it's not the Hong Kong limited company. Because if you set up the Hong Kong limited company, the concept supposing you have the business activities involved in Hong Kong, that's why you set up the Hong Kong limited company. And then you follow all the rules and do the accounting, auditing, and file the profit tax return. However, if your business is not in Hong Kong, supposing you should set up the offshore company, which can save your time, do not need to do the accounting, auditing, and do not need to file the tax return to the Hong Kong government. But however, I understand that you just mentioned that maybe is very painful, is afraid that to open the bank account. Yes, offshore like Seashell or BVI company is comparatively a bit much more difficult than the Hong Kong limited company to open the bank account. But however, frankly speaking, for the 2014, even though open the Hong Kong company may not be easy as well for the expatriate foreigners, because most of the bank now they require maybe you need to have a very solid business proof, and also you have the physical office in Hong Kong, and they want to have a lot of assessments on your background as well. So open up the Hong Kong company may not be easy already. So I think if your business is really the offshore company, you must set up the offshore Seashell or BVI company. Why? Even though when you step in, it's much more easy. But if you want to offshore claim, actually, which is not something very easy, Inland Revenue Department will ask you a lot of questions, maybe 20 questions or 30 questions. You need to be very well organized from the right beginning to well prepare all the documents, back and rights, good filing, all the things, in order to prepare yourself to answer the Inland Revenue Department questions.
I think that's, I know this is very kind of detailed, but I know we get questions and it's helpful. So you can help people do this off if they still insist to do an offshore domestic Hong Kong offshore transaction. You can help them with that too, yeah, if they wanted to do
yeah
that.
Of course we help a lot of clients to handle this kind of things, because we handle their account, we know what happened, whether they are suitable to go ahead for this kind of offshore claim or not, whether it's worth to do it as well. Supposing if you are making profits and good profit and your whole business is belongs to the offshore, I think it's worth to do this kind of things. Otherwise, if you are not making a lot of profit, yeah, you need to consider whether it is cost effective to carry out this kind of offshore claim with the inland revenue. Not only involve the cost and also on the time as well, because when you deal with the Hong Kong government on this kind of claim, it may involve few months' time, or even some of the clients may involve 1 to 2 years' time to deal with the inland revenue to ask for this kind of offshore claim.
Got it. And then, so yeah, I mean, we've had some listeners have great experiences with you, and we also have a special offer for listeners. So thanks again for being on the show, Fionn.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Fionn, for coming back and sharing. I know listeners are going to enjoy that and learn, so thanks again. And sometimes I do worry that some of the topics we discuss are a little bit boring and dry, you know, talking about accounting and tax filing. But really, I talk to a lot of listeners, and you guys love it. You know, the credit card show we did with Chris Gormley was a fun one and hot. And we were both thinking it wasn't so interesting, but people really, like, enjoyed it. So, you know, whenever I did mention that the show might be boring, I've always gotten people emailing me, reaching out that it's not, and please keep doing it. So I will. And, you know, I've even got more requests for more auditing questions and tax accounting practices. So we'll get into that in upcoming interviews too. I'm also going to keep it fun and have some fun interviews as well. So don't worry. That credit card show being episode 23, which you can get at globalfromasia.com/episode23. Also, don't forget that if you want to use Bridges services, I am an affiliate. So check it out at globalfromasia.com/bridges. And you'll get a 1,000 Hong Kong dollar credit on your company opening fee with them. And of course, I don't like to be pushy. And, you know, if you use other service providers or anybody else you're more comfortable with, that's totally fine too. I'm going to keep rocking this show, but I do appreciate those that, you know, remember me when they use some companies that have an affiliate program that I'm behind. So thanks anybody that does that. And now for the voicemails for the show that I mentioned at the beginning. So there's two that I have on this voicemail system that I signed up for, besides Chi, who manually emailed me his WAV file before I got that voicemail thing set up. So let's listen into these two that I have. So here's David's, which actually gets cut off, but I will share it. So he believes me that I got some of it, but for some reason it's just stopped. So let's listen to this one.
Hey, Mike. This is David from Fat Cat Apps. First of all, thanks for this podcast. It's super useful.
And here is Masood, who is in TST district of Hong Kong, and it seems like he has some urgent issues and needs for merchant accounts.
Hi, Mike. This is Masood Alam from Tsim Sha Tsui, Hong Kong. I send you email already, but please contact me as soon as possible. I need some urgent services like payment gateway, merchant account, virtual terminals, and POS machines. I read your profile, and I am very much impressed with your profile. So please contact me as soon as possible. I am 24-hour available to talk with you. Thanks.
And I know everyone is always having problems with merchant accounts in Hong Kong and in other parts of Asia. And it's kind of one of my pet peeves, or one of the things I'm trying to solve with this show. And I know the struggles people go through. And I just talked to somebody, a lot of these people I can't disclose, but he has an Australian company, a Malaysian company, and a local Chinese company. And he has his merchant account with Australia, and he has his Malaysia company for some operations there, and he has a Chinese company for other back office manufacturing in mainland China. So, you know, I'm trying to get him on the show, but a lot of these people don't want to get expose their company structure because it's, you know, sometimes a little bit complicated, and they don't want to be so public about it. Okay, everyone, thanks for hanging with me through this whole show. The year 2014 is almost over, and I enjoyed all these podcasts, and I'm reflecting and kind of reconsidering the way I do the show, the format. I'm just maybe playing around a little bit. I have some new ideas. If anybody wants to reach out and give me some ideas of topics or structures or formats, I'd love to hear from you. And on any of your ideas at mike@globalfromasia.com, or hit me on Twitter at Michelini, M-I-C-H-E-L-I-N-I. And any other kind of social media ways you can stalk me and reach out that you like, I'll try my best to listen. Thanks. Take care.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.